A good almost winter morning to you. I'm Jim Tevenin. The mystery of the cosmos is on full display at this time of year as we in the Northern Hemisphere prepare for the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, and the day on which it all begins again, a new cycle as we move toward rebirth in spring and on into summer. The solstice has been celebrated in many ways for millennia. And one aspect of that will be on display here in Spokane this coming Saturday evening. The principals involved are Michael Marsalek and Lawrence Duncan. We'll meet Michael and hear about the program in just a moment. A bit more of the music that these two play will take us in. So sit back, relax, and enter into our journey toward the winter solstice. My guest is Michael Marsalek. He's a very familiar presence all across the state of Montana in his role as program director at Montana Public Radio. And he's an occasional presence in Spokane as well, but that's in another part of his life that we're going to investigate now. But first of all, greetings, Michael.
Well, greetings, Jim. Nice to visit with you.
We are talking about Michael Marsalek as musician. And I think we can kind of get started gently on this. If you could take us back to your initial contacts and learnings in music and where it led you.
Well, I've been part of the Drum Brothers Ensemble, which is started off as an instrument building company and then a band for about 27 years now. But I've been playing music and singing my whole life. I also sing with Dolce Canto, which is an a cappella choir based out of Missoula. As well. Been doing that for nearly 15 years as well. And collaborate with other musicians regularly. Lawrence and I do this project where we're coming to Spokane, the musical Dreamtime journey as well. But my background is really as a percussionist, and I play didgeridoo. I often joke that I'm probably one of the only professional didgeridoo players around Montana. And as a singer as well.
Well, certainly they support one another because the amount of air that you need to make the didgeridoo do its thing means you can sing those really long phrases, I would imagine.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things I discovered early on when I started playing is realizing that, you know, you can make the didgeridoo polyphonic when you start singing while you play. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole side of the instrument as well. It's not just noise making and, the barking and kind of crazy sounds that you often hear with that droning instrument, but it's really beautiful when you sing through it as well.
Now, the program that you hinted at and that we're actually talking around is your presentation in Spokane on Saturday, the 21st, at South Perry Yoga at the Budio of a musical Dreamtime journey. So let's just go there, as a matter of fact. Tell us a little bit about this performance and its background.
This is a project that Lawrence and I started nearly a quarter century ago. And I think we're in our 23rd year.
Okay, and we should probably mention that Lawrence is Lawrence Duncan, who is a member of Drum Brothers.
He's a member of Drum Brothers and also a multi-instrumentalist and plays in other groups and other things as well. He brings woodwinds, so he plays recorders and flutes and saxophones and often bassoon. He also plays the Celtic harp. He often on the Dreamtime tour brings his iwi, which is the electronic wind instrument as well. And then I play numerous percussion instruments and lots of chimes and bells and whistles as well as didgeridoo. And we both sing and read poetry. This project came out of an idea to find a way to collaborate musically, mostly improvise together and really celebrate the changing of the season. So it was originally kind of built around the time of the solstice. But as you know, every year, it's also just the time that many cultures and traditions mark big transitions, whether it be, the time of Christmas, of course, or Hanukkah. There's often this end of December, end of the year, darkest season of the year, of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, that it's a wonderful chance for us to kind of help celebrate that, the connection, the longest day of the year, and also a chance to really let people slow down. These concerts are really different in the sense that, Jim, we don't have applause. The entire performance is done without applause. We're always in the round with people on every side. We're always in nothing but candlelight. So you really have kind of a different musical experience when you set it up that way. And to be on top of that, many people choose to bring blankets and pillows and pads even lay on the floor or any kind of place around. We're in churches sometimes or community centers. In Spokane, we've done this at St. John's over the years. So creating a really kind of a different way of creating intentional ritual space to celebrate with music and poetry the season of the lights and season of the year.
And as you mentioned, it's a balance of music and poetry. How much of the performance is actually planned out, and how much or where do you leave room for improvisation?
Most of the show, to be honest with you, is really improvised. Now, Lawrence and I have been playing together for more than two decades, and we've been doing events like this every year. Sometimes we have a tour. This year we're in five cities. Sometimes we do less. Sometimes we do more. We've played in as many as 15 cities in the month of December some years ago. But since we've been playing together so long, often we'll have a little bit of a roadmap. And I'm guessing when we're in Spokane, which is actually, by the way, on the night of the solstice, and the actual moment of solstice will happen actually during the show. So we're pretty excited about
that.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, that almost never happens, mm-hmm. but that actual moment of the winter solstice will happen during the show. But most of it's improvised. We have often a roadmap. We have an idea of flavors or textures of sounds that we want to do. Often it's based on the instrumentation. I play a lot of very interesting percussion instruments like the udu drum and lots of frame drums and ceremonial drums or certain didgeridoos that are certain pitches, for example. And we'll have an idea. Often when we've been on the road, too, we'll have something that we've tried that we really like, and maybe it's a combination of instruments. Maybe Lawrence has a piece that he really wants to play, and often he'll quote carols or other kinds of things on a recorder, for example. And sometimes those will develop over the course of a tour and we'll repeat something. But really everything is improvised. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a formula for how we're going to get into the evening, and we certainly have a way that we kind of plan that we're going to end. But what happens in that 90 minutes that we do really straight through, or a little more than 90 minutes typically, is really a chance for us to be surrounded by these, what ends up being hundreds of instruments. We often joke that we're bringing enough instruments for a very large ensemble, and there's only two of us. But that's the fun part, too, of having all these instruments around you that you love to play and can be creative with.
Silly question. Do you manage to get to all of them or just most of them in the course of the evening?
Well, I know, some people are, of course, sitting with their eyes closed or just, experiencing the evening. I know that there's some people that really like to watch. The setup is really interesting. There's lots of instruments and chimes and gongs and things hanging around, and the instruments are beautiful. So I know people like to watch, and I'm always aware of the fact that, I didn't end up playing that instrument tonight, or I didn't end up playing that instrument tonight. But truth be said, in that amount of time, we play most everything we bring. Mm-hmm. We often joke that with each other that, gosh, this should be the year that we tone it down a little bit and bring a few less things with us on the road. But often when it's time to pack the van and head out on the tour, you know, we want to bring most of those instruments and try to play most of them. You know, I play a Native American flute as well, so, you know, I'll have flutes and didgeridoos kind of surrounding me and lots of percussion instruments. And there's often a moment during the evening where I just kind of look around and Lawrence looks around and go, oh, you know, I haven't played that yet. And this would be perfect to accompany for when he reads a poem or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Michael Marsalek, who, along with Lawrence Duncan, will be presenting the musical Dreamtime Journey on the evening of the winter solstice at the South Perry Yoga at the Budio. And you can get your tickets through Brown Paper Tickets for that. And the program begins at 7 o'clock. This is probably an impossible question to answer, but do you get a sense of who it is who comes to these performances? I mean, are these people who are denizens of other styles of music and always there for performances, or are these folks who are just kind of drawn to a different kind of concert experience?
Well, that's actually a really good question, and one we, I think, as musicians, you always want to ask and try to answer. And it's really varied. I mean, we do have people that come back year after year, and, you know, we perform this every year in Missoula and often will tour. But if we don't make it to a city, you know, sometimes I'll get calls and, you know, how come you didn't come to Great Falls this year? Because this is part of our annual holiday ritual. So mm-hmm. we have some of that, you know, kind of repeat folks that like to celebrate the winter solstice, for example, or have it as part of their holiday celebration. I think we're also drawing, though, a number of people who are just really interested in kind of this idea of the world music side of it, you know, the really interesting instruments, and also the sense of really creating kind of a different intentional concert space. It's really pretty unique to be able to do something like this where, you know, it's really only about the experience and the music. Sometimes when the lights go up at the very end, people applaud, and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's this wonderful, though, experience where you can really dive in. And the process, we've often discovered that the process of listening to music is different depending on what your intention is and what your experience is. So imagine being, you know, laying on the floor or sitting comfortably in a chair, covered up in a blanket, comfortable, and listening to something without the interruption of applause or without the need to see, you know, some detail of something. You know, there's not a program in that sense that you have to follow. So it allows, I think, for a little bit of a different listening experience. And I know that that's something that people find interesting as well.
Your tour takes you primarily to places in Montana. And again, Spokane is the one out-of-state performance that you give. Have you done performances in North Idaho?
We have. Yeah, we've performed in, we've performed in Coeur d'Alene and in Moscow and I think one other place. I can't remember for sure. Oh, Sandpoint for mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. Over the years. It's really, in some ways, it's up to our lives a little bit. I mean, between the other groups that we play in and our activities, you know, Drum Brothers is playing it first night on New Year's Eve and is, you know, in rehearsals for that. And I just finished up with Dolce Canto for the winter holidays. So part of it is what dates can we block out to do? But we often are driven, you know, Sean at South Perry Yoga reached out again and said, hey, you guys should come back. And mm-hmm. so that was very auspicious to say, yeah, we've got a date. In fact, we have the actual date of the winter solstice and let's go to Spokane.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And that's, you know, I think part of it for us too is really how many days do we want to spend on the road? This tour takes a lot of time to set up. And as I mentioned, you know, we have hundreds of instruments, you know, more than 50 instruments in our little carpet that we set up in the center. So it's a lot of work, but it's certainly a labor of love for us mm-hmm, as well mm-hmm. This time of year. And to go out and this time we're going to be in Helena, Butte, Missoula, Kalispell, as well as Spokane, and all 5 nights in a row. So we'll just be on the road for 5 days and doing it every night.
Let me ask you one more question before we have to close here, and that's having to do with venues. And just to take two, the South Perry Yoga is an intimate space. Contrasted with that, the evening before, you're at your home base in Missoula, and you're at St. Anthony Parish, which listeners to Concert of the Week will recognize that was the venue for the International Choral Festival broadcast that we did. Very different acoustic, that a very large space for one thing, and the other is has a very, very generous acoustic. How does this affect you as performers? And what, not necessarily changes which you make to the program, because it is, as you said, primarily improvised, but in your approach to your music?
Well, it's another really good question. Often we're in a space because of the acoustics primarily. So we're looking for a place that has a nice reverberation kind of sound that's really open in a very live room, because the instruments that we're playing, the flutes and chimes and didgeridoo, they really love that kind of openness. Mm-hmm. We do have a minimal amount of sound reinforcement, which we use as well, and mostly for the electronic instruments, or in the case of like the udu drum that I play, which is this wonderful clay pot instrument from Nigeria. You know, it needs to be plugged in to have that internal microphone really pick up the sound in a wonderful way. So. And we also want, no matter what kind of a room in, we want to be heard when we're reading poetry or singing. Mm-hmm. So, sure. So we have some amplification. But in the case of, you know, Missoula, we've been doing it for 23 years, and so lots of people come. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly large audience, so we ended up in a pretty big venue for that. And, you know, there's 100 people on the floor scattered around the church, and many, many more in chairs. For an intimate venue like the yoga studio, and we're doing something similar in Butte at a kind of a fellowship hall as part of a church, what we want is a room that's pretty live. But those are really very intimate spaces. I often say when people are coming in, there's no front. It's in the round. You can sit anywhere you want in the room, and you can sit as close to the carpet, which is kind of our thing that we set up on, as close as you want. And often we have people very close to the action, so to speak. And it does, I think you're right in that it does change the experience. We often talk about, as musicians, I think this is always true to a certain extent, but an event like this even more, where when people bring an intention and their focus and energy, it supports the performance. And I think adds a layer of that intention and that commitment to the creation of ritual space in a concert setting allows for really wonderful things to happen when musicians improvise. We often feel like we're fed by that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really true in other settings as well, but especially in this case for us.
Sure, absolutely. It's called A Musical Dreamtime Journey, and it features my guest today, Michael Marsalek, and also Lawrence Duncan. And it takes place in Spokane at South Perry Yoga at the Budio on the solstice, the 21st of December at 7 o'clock. And tickets are available through brownpapertickets.com. And you can come and bring your blankets, you can bring your pads, you can bring whatever makes you comfortable being in this space. There are chairs that are available for those who might desire or need them. And the one caveat is that, and this makes absolute sense, that if you bring your kids, they need to be 10 years of age or older.
Yeah, Jim, if I could add to that, we found over the years that since we're doing it straight through without an intermission, and it's such a contemplative and often quiet performance, that the younger kids have a little harder time with the attention
for
that. But the older kids tend to really like it. You know, if people want more information or the links to things, we post everything at drumbrothers.com, which is the website for the Drum Brothers Band as well. So that's a way to get to tickets if people are interested. And the only other thing I like to offer is that, unlike most performances in the world these days that start 10 minutes late or 8 minutes late, we start these things on time with intention. Often request that people get there just a little bit early and try to really honor the fact that it starts on the hour. So that's also very fun for us.
All right. Not Holding the Curtain is Michael Marsalek, my guest today. Michael, thanks so much for your time, and we really look forward to your trip to Spokane and for the performance of the musical Dreamtime Journey. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, and happy holidays, everybody.